This is a podcast by The Straits Times and Money FM 89.3.
It is time now for a China perspective, where we put the spotlight on China. A couple of issues that we're looking at. China's President Xi Jinping has been a very busy man over the past week. He's looking for ways to narrow the country's wealth gap. So while this might just get him public support, should the rich in China feel nervous? Other issues, China will soon have not one, not two, but three stock exchanges. Currently, the country has two major markets based in the Shanghai Financial Hub and the southern city of Shenzhen. How will having this third stock market in Beijing benefit the country? Plus, it looks like China's Sinopharm might just be a little ahead in the COVID-19 vaccine race. The company has recently unveiled a series of newly developed COVID-19 vaccines and medicines at the 2021 China International Fair for Trade in Services over the weekend. So what do we know about this so far in terms of this new series of vaccines from Sinopharm? Let's get some analysis on these headlines and more with Dr. Oh A. Sun, Senior Fellow, Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Dr. Oh, good morning. How are you?
Very good morning to all of you. All of us, I think, are just coping nowadays.
Yeah, yeah. Stay strong, stay strong, stay steady. Yeah, mental health, very important. Another week and more headlines, it seems. Xi Jinping on a bit of a mission. He wants to narrow China's wealth gap and the public support he needs for continued rule. So should the rich over in China feel nervous about this? I mean, how can President Xi gain public support with his efforts to close the wealth gap in China? Your thoughts?
Well, the key phrase nowadays is, of course, common prosperity. So these very wealthy tycoons will have to sort of, in a sense, get used to this new reality, whereby previously they might have explosive growth in their wealth and so on. And nowadays, perhaps they would need to, shall we say, give back more to society. And indeed, you saw a number of high-tech companies ranging from Alibaba to Tencent, and then also, well, their respective bosses, the tycoons, are rolling out various common prosperity measures to the tunes of hundreds of billions of China's renminbi. So you would see, in a sense, almost like a corporate social responsibility type of programs are being rolled out in the coming months. Yeah.
Yeah, I like the phrase common prosperity. It's like Chinese New Year every day. Dr. Oh, let's talk about how China has announced plans to set up a third stock exchange to serve small and medium-sized businesses. I mean, what can you tell us about this new stock exchange in Beijing and how will it benefit China?
Well, number one, the details are still coming in. I think mainly it was President Xi Jinping announcing it during that China International Fair in Trade and Services over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And we are still looking for more details. But I think it will be so-called mainly facilitating the small and medium enterprises, I would guess, to list on the stock exchange. Now, but you see, you need also to be very careful about this. I mean, you can't have, you know, like every other mom and pop shop also listing in the stock markets, right? There must be some sort of listing criteria.
Okay.
But these criteria could not be too stringent as for those other, you know, the bigger listed companies. But on the other hand, it could not be too relaxed as well, because then every other sundry shop would get listed, right? Mm-hmm. So how to strike that balance, I think, would indeed be a very daunting challenge. Yeah.
I get your opinion on this one, because it comes at a time where you're also seeing China doing a bit of a crackdown on like some of the tech companies, the edutech companies, even gaming, for example. It seems like a massive sort of balancing act that's happening right now. Any chance we have any indication on the timeline to when this new stock exchange might be ready?
I think at this point now it's too sketchy to tell of a timeline. But usually within a few months after the major pronouncement by a top leader, you would see this sort of programs being rolled out. So I would imagine by the end of the year, we would have a more definitive answer here.
This podcast is available on our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Like us and rate us. And now, back to our podcast episode.
Doctor, let's talk a little bit about climate change. We've got Britain's senior climate change official, Alok Sharma, arriving in Tianjin over the weekend to meet representatives from the government and business ahead of the next round of global climate talks. That one's scheduled to take place in Glasgow in November, I believe. What's the main agenda of Mr. Sharma's visit to China?
Well, not surprisingly, it's mainly because China is still the world's largest emitter of so-called greenhouse gases. And therefore, they would like to have China committing to, I think, what was called more near-term goals. Okay. Because, for example, China would say it would like to be carbon neutral, but by the year 2060, which is nearly 40 years from now, right? So I think Mr. Sharma would, of course, like to have this round of climate talks to be a success. So ahead of it, he would, I think, like to have more, shall we say, nearer term commitments from China, let's say cutting down your greenhouse gas emission, let's say within the next 5 years, with a more realistic goal and so on.
All right. We're on the line this morning with Dr. Oh Ei San, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs, talking about a couple of headlines out of China. The next one is about Sinopharm. They've unveiled a series of newly developed COVID-19 vaccines and medicines at the 2021 China International Fair for Trade and Services. This happened over the weekend. Interesting, a new developed vaccine from Sinopharm. Could you tell us more about it? And what else do you understand where, you know, the medicinal side of things are concerned in terms of dealing with COVID-19 from China's perspective?
Well, I think nowadays there were a lot of talks about the so-called mRNA or recombinant RNA sort of those type of vaccines are more effective than the so-called inactivated virus type of vaccines, which China has been manufacturing a lot. Therefore, well, China is finally getting into the game of so-called mRNA vaccines. So this series of new vaccines coming out of Sinopharm, I think they are the first attempt at producing this so-called mRNA vaccines. But I think they are still on the clinical trial stage, and they are not ready to be rolled out to the market just yet here.
And finally, forecasts from Bloomberg Economics suggest that China could grab the top spot held by the U.S. for well over a century as soon as the year 2031. What will form, you know, the foundation as China moves towards overtaking the U.S. to become the world's largest economy? I mean, you're talking about pivoting away from relying on property and infrastructure. They're doing a little bit more on the tech front. How's China going to achieve all this?
Well, I would call it manufacturing revisited, right? For the longest period of time, I think throughout the 1980s, 90s, and maybe even the early 2000s, China was heavily stressing on manufacturing as the engine for growth. But in recent years, of course, you know, we all seen our China friends getting rich in their various property development ventures and so on. So, again, this is along the same strain of regulations as what you mentioned about clamping down on edutech and gaming companies and so on. China would not like to see too much speculation in its economy. It would like to go back to good old manufacturing, but of course of the high-tech and more innovative variations. So how it would, you know, rebalance its economy as such, I think will be the main challenge for the next almost 10 years as it tries to clinch the top spot in terms of the size of its economy in the world.
Yeah, and it's a very interesting new sort of narrative out of China, right? I mean, weeks ago we heard how China, for lack of a better choice of words, wanted to play ball with the United States in ensuring, you know, that, you know, whatever was listed on the New York Stock Exchange and all the checks and all that was done properly. From the U.S. point of view, the potential of them being knocked off top spot, do you see them, you know, trying to stop China from overtaking them?
Well, nowadays, you will see actually the regulators in the New York Stock Exchange and their counterparts in China are working quite hard together, right, to make sure that those Chinese companies which are trying to get listed in the United States, they do have their proper accountings and various other regulatory measures. I think, of course, you know, as far as the geopolitics between superpowers, the United States would like to retain its top spot. But I think as long as competition remains at the economic level, I think it's really fair game between the two superpowers. Mm-hmm. But once it spills out to other, shall we say, more strategic fields and so on, yeah, then you will see all these competitions sort of warming up.
Yeah, well, the U.S. President Joe Biden has previously expressed his worry that China might overtake the United States and stated that he's determined that China should not displace America. Well, watch this space, as they say. I've been speaking with Dr. Oh Ay Sun, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Dr. Oh, appreciate your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you very much indeed.
The Asian Insider Podcast channel is also available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Like us and rate us.